If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, it's me, and I want to thank everyone at the Oasis Podcast, as you were.
Hello and welcome back to the Oasis Podcast, the ultimate audio guide to Oasis. I hope you guys are all right. Well, that was a stressful day, wasn't it? I'm recording this at just after midnight, Saturday night going into Sunday morning. And yeah, what a mad change of emotion. So the last time I recorded was last night, and we were absolutely buzzing. You know, if you haven't heard it yet, go back and listen to it, because it was great, you know, to have Katie and Brandon and Tom and Stefan, and everyone so happy, excited to be getting tickets and booking, and it was all great. Oasis were just the most popular, wonderful, great people in the world. Ticketmaster was a bit of a slog, but worked fine. And yeah, we were all chuffed to bits. Logged in this morning, and it couldn't have been any different. Absolute nightmare. So, you know, I was okay, because I've got Cardiff day one. That's what I wanted. That's what I needed. We're fine. But, you know, we want to try for others. We want to try for Wembley. We want to try for other people. So, and Heaton Park as well, ideally. So, you know, tried again this morning. And absolute nightmare, just literally from being logged in 8 o'clock this morning all the way through. And I'm sure if you listen to this, you will have experienced this as well, all the way through, just constant hassle watching this thing. First it's the queue to get into the queue, and then you finally get into the queue, and then you're just seeing this thing, just like, this just is mad. And then finally about 2:30, we finally get, you are number one in the queue. And by this time, obviously, I'm seeing everything come through from people about, they've introduced this dynamic pricing, they're charging 300 quid, blah, blah, blah. So I'm seeing all that. So I'm like, okay, we know what's happening. Get through. And it's like, okay, we can get standing. It's going to be 350 quid a ticket. Just thought, okay, just got to do it. Let's do it. Standing, 350 a ticket. Pressed okay, and then it kicks us out, and we're back to the start of the queue. And you're just like, you know what, that is just ridiculous. I mean, today's interview, sorry, I've just went into it, but today's interview is with Husey, who's a YouTuber, who's a very, very funny guy. So he does his own YouTube channel and podcast, and so the full interview will be over there. I think the audio podcast is free. The YouTube side is that you've got to be a member and pay him money. But I'm going to put a few edited highlights on here, and then if you want to go and check out the full version, then I can drop a link below to check that out. So we do go into there a little bit, but I just wanted to cover off how I feel about it. I also did a tweet earlier saying basically I was being complimentary about the ticket prices. Yes, they were high, but at least they were fixed. And then the resale being at face value on Twickets was good. However, seeing now this Ticketmaster in demand thing, regular standing going for over double, not cool. So if you know there's going to be in demand dynamic pricing, that's fine. That's the way of the world that most other major artists and sporting events do that. But for that to appear now after people have queued all morning isn't right. So that's how I feel about it. Look, there's, I suppose Oasis, there's two ways you can go about this. Number one, you can say, look, standing tickets are going to be from 150 to 500. And depending on demand, they will be somewhere between 150 and 500. Or I think someone had said, just put them at 500 or put them at 350 or whatever it's going to be. And then say special discount for the first 10,000 or whatever, you know, do something like that. If you do that, then at least people know, okay, I'm prepared. You shift money around, you figure it out, you do what you need to do. Then if you get in and you get the choice and it's 350 quid a ticket, then you know that was always going to be a possibility. We just didn't know. You know, you just didn't know. You thought that what you could get was seats at 80, this at this, this at this. And the worst case scenario, if it had to be the most expensive seats, then at least you knew what you were getting. But this to be suddenly in demand, 350 quid, it's just not on. Now, don't get me wrong. Like, I think a lot of people who listen to this podcast know what my job is. I'm a financial advisor. I deal with shares, right? I believe in capitalism and buying and selling. You know, if you've got Marks and Spencer's shares and then suddenly Marks and Spencer's do well, well, their share price is going to go up. They're now more expensive. That's dynamics of markets. That's how they work. So if Oasis can sell tickets at the market value that they're going for, then yeah, they probably are worth 500 quid because they probably can sell 17 stadiums of tickets for 500 quid and that would sell, right? So that is the market value of those tickets. If that's what they want to do, it's not very ethical, I don't think. It's not very kind. It's not very good for the kind of the working class sort of ideals that they had. But fine, if that's what you want to do, that's your value. Hey, we're going to do gigs, but we're only going to charge top dollar because this is a special experience. If that's what you want, that's fine. Be honest about it. Don't get people to log in and spend 6 hours, 8 hours sitting on hold, watching a screen, putting everything else in their life on hold to do this, only to then say, ah, by the way, 350 quid. The other thing as well is, you know, if I think it's because they were kind of hypocritical, because they'd made this big deal about, oh, we're not allowing these sort of secondhand resale sites. You know, if you use one of them, your ticket could be cancelled. So therefore, you can't use a Viagogo or a StubHub and these sort of places that then suddenly it's 900 quid. You know, if you use those, they'll be cancelled. I thought, oh, that's absolutely brilliant. And like, you know, I've been really positive about them. I've been sort of very complimentary about the fact they're taking a stand against touts when it turns out the Ticketmaster are just as bad as that. You know, and look, don't get me wrong. Like I said, I understand other artists do this. Other sports events do this. This is always the case, you know, but they had a choice. You know, they could have not done this. Now, I'm not saying they should have not done this. You know, yeah, I think if you can sort of get into the fall, well, you're working class lads, you shouldn't have made people pay so much. You can argue that, definitely. But in reality, you know, if you say, right, we're going to put this, what's your choice, Nolan Liam? Do we put it on dynamic pricing and you'll make £70 million or we put it on normal pricing and you make £50 million? Let's go to dynamic pricing. You know, like that's what it comes down to, right? So I don't begrudge them doing that. That's fine. I just think the way in which they did it was dreadful. You know, to make people hang on like that, it's not a good look at all. And at some point, Liam has got to turn up on social media, right? He's, like I say in the upcoming interview, he's gone very, very quiet. And as soon as he comes on, surely it's just going to be bang, hundreds of people saying, what the hell are you doing? You know, because it's just too much. You just, you know, you can charge what you want, but then to just be so sneaky about it, I think that's really, and hypocritical, having then done the other thing about the tout side of it. No, it doesn't sit right at all. And it has sort of put a dampener on it, to be honest. Like right now, as I sit right now, you know, that amazing excitement I had yesterday is really sort of tempered because I'm just thinking, that's just not on, you know? Just the way they did it, it's just put a bit of a dampener on it for me. So we'll see. Like, hopefully I'll get over that. And, you know, well, obviously in a year's time, you know, by the time we're actually doing the gigs, I'm sure I won't be thinking about that. I will be really sad for those people that didn't get to go because they just couldn't afford it. Oh, and then the other point, I mean, Jesus, you know, can you not run a website? I mean, I understand the demand is outrageous, you know, but to get to the end and then kick someone out or be, oh, you're a bot or you're this or you're that, you know, it can't be that hard, surely. Is there not another way that you can do this that it's like doesn't just break? I mean, we don't help ourselves, do we? I know someone had messaged me and said, like, I can't believe it. I've got 6 devices going and I couldn't get in on any of them. And I sort of thought, well, hold on, there's the problem, right? If you've got 6 devices going, then of course you're not going to, of course the system's going to break. Because if there's, you know, if there's 1 million people trying for tickets and they're trying on 6 devices, well, yeah, then probably the systems will break. But so that's pretty stupid. You know, it should just be you log into 1 Ticketmaster account and you try on 1 Ticketmaster account. If you want to set up 100 Ticketmaster accounts and have 100 computers going, then fine. But, you know, that's the crux of it there. But yeah, so right now, it's been a really unpleasant day. You know, just on a personal level, like having gone through it, seeing what everyone else has gone through, everyone that feels so disappointed now, like even me posting that episode for I did yesterday, I just thought, God, I have to just put a disclaimer in this and say, look, don't listen to this. Don't listen to the first half an hour because it's 5 or 6 people just being really, really pleased that we got tickets and you're going to be absolutely gutted. So, so it has put a bit of a dampener on it, but I'm sure we'll get over that. You know, we've still got the more dates to come, hopefully. We've got like, you know, as I say, there is the Twickets selling and swapping and things. So I think if you are going to want to get there, hopefully you will get there. You know, we'll see. And hopefully they'll stay together. So even if you don't get them on this run, maybe you'll get them on the next run when they're not quite as in demand. But I shouldn't have used the word in demand. It's just wound me up again. Oh, God. Anyway. So there we are. That's where we've got to. I'm going to cross over now to some highlights of my chat with Hughesy. And then when I come back, we're going to go back into... I've got an incredible message I want to play you, but...
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Anyway, here's my chat with Hughesy.
Today we got he's not a rapper, even though he's going with JC. John, of course, is the host of the recently exploded Oasis podcast. He's been doing the media rounds. And what I've been dying to speak to you about is, has there ever in your lifetime ever been ever been a more stressful time to be an Oasis fan, John?
James,
it is James, isn't it?
I think so. That's what it says on my birth certificate. Anyway, mate. But it's been a long day, and I'm sorry I've kept you waiting tonight. I'm very sorry. No, this last week, it's been a roller coaster of emotions is the word to describe it, really, because you know, you've got this unbelievable high of, oh my God, our favorite band is getting back together again. It's the best thing in the world. And I've been going live on the podcast every day. I normally do a podcast about once every 2 weeks, you know, typically. And yeah, but this week I've just gone every single day. It's been insane. But yeah, so originally it was like, oh my God, I can't believe it. The rumors are true. They're back together. And then we go to, oh, we've actually got to get tickets. Like, that's going to be stressful. And then I did get pre-sale and I got on and it was a pretty nerve-wracking, but it was over pretty quick. You know, I got tickets, I got what I wanted and it was done. And then, but then this morning, then you go into like the main sale of everyone. And I was really positive. I was like, look, yeah, the prices are pretty high. You know, it's like £150 standing, which isn't too bad. You know, it's not outrageous. It's not like the Taylor Swift, Beyonce sort of levels, but you know, it's not too bad actually. It is high. Don't get me wrong, but it's not disgusting. And then then they go and pull this on us today. I know you're a big pro wrestling guy. They pulled a heel turn. You know, that's what they did. Like for the non-pro wrestling people, especially in the Oasis podcast world. That's basically when the good guy goes bad, right? When you're expecting them to do a nice thing and then they turn around and do a very, very bad thing. You know, they've gone and said, this is going to be kind of all, these are the prices and we're not doing any of these horrible second sale ticket price places like Viagogo and StubHub that then massively up the prices. It'll all be at the face value prices. Okay, great. And then people are sitting on hold on Ticketmaster for hours and hours and hours today. And then they finally get through and they go, ah, in-demand pricing, you're not getting 150 quid, you're getting 360.
Mm.
What? So, yeah, whether or not they're sat there in the background laughing their asses off, you know, because apparently this is down to the artist. They can choose to have this turned off. So, yeah, so I feel a little bit put out because I've been, you know, bigging them up, really, saying, oh, it's great. You know, it's fantastic. Yeah, it's expensive, but it's not too bad. And they're not allowing the ticket touts to sort of do their thing and stick them up. But then they did it themselves. So, yeah, right now it's sort of put a bit of a downer on it for me personally. But, you know, I'm sure that'll pass. But, you know, and I'm okay, Jack. But it's not about me. It's you know, I just feel gutted for everyone that didn't get it or almost got in but then couldn't afford it, you know?
Yeah, Noel.
You stink.
Mm-hmm. A nice question here by Mommy again. Who is Oasis, the Wonderwall song?
Yeah, Oasis are a reggae band. so, yeah, no. They're the guys that did Wonderwall. And they've also, yeah, like, you might be taking a piss, Mommy, but they are... you know, they are the biggest band in the UK since the Beatles. You might have heard of the Beatles as well. I don't know. They're the Yellow Submarine guys.
Yeah, and if I can just say, they are the biggest band in the UK, but they're actually Irish.
Boom, brr, boom, boom.
So that's what I have to say about that. But the thing I've got to say about the With Oasis and the whole Ticketmaster thing, how the fuck did it happen? Because I'm going to have to steal somebody else's joke where they said, Ticketmaster is fully prepared for the effort and the stress that's going to have to go through to the point that they've doubled their staff to make sure they can handle all the traffic. And both of those people are going to be very tired by the end. That's one of my... if that was funny, that was my joke. If it wasn't funny, James Corden said it on his show. But I just think that it's ridiculous. Like, when I went in the queue this morning, I had for Saturday on my phone and for Sunday on the pewter, which is the hilarious way of saying computer. You're laughing your head off. You're just trying to be professional. The fucking thing, it said over 400,000 people. It's like 400,000 people aren't, and this is the thing, I don't know if you've seen this, James, well, you wouldn't have seen it, a tweet I put out got reported in the Sun fucking website, because I'm a racist, because I said, I don't want people from the UK. Let me finish. I don't want people from the UK come to Ireland. Let me finish. Coming to Ireland and taking these fucking Oasis tickets, because we had two shows and then there was fucking, 10 in England and then, or 10 in the UK. It's like, why don't you people go to those shows and let it be easier for the fucking, the people where Oasis are actually from, you know, in Ireland.
Boom, brr, boom, boom.
Yeah, and it's that sort of stuff that, today was so fucking stressful and so much extra effort put on to everything. And it's kind of like I know they're going to add more Croke Park gigs. Apparently it's being announced on Monday. And the theory and the talk is that it's going to go up to 6 Croke Park gigs and that's it. And that's a lot of fucking money. When Bruce Springsteen played there, he made $16 million in a day. I think that it's a shame to see that we grew up, you're only 24, but
yeah.
When I grew up, fucking, we get to see this band from the start as a super rebellious independent. Now they're officially the most systemiest system you're ever going to fucking see. Like, this is full on corporate Oasis. Like, we're going to fucking, we're going to see them doing sponsorship ads for like, oh, fucking, I'm really tired after a gig and need to have a Pepsi Cola to fucking cool down, you know? And Subway system going to change, You're My Wonder Bread, we're going to have all these fucking stupid ads. This is what it's become. Like Liam's singing at the Anthony Joshua fight next week and Christ, he's probably going to be wearing the fucking Apple logo on his chest.
I mean, the demand in Ireland is ridiculous. I was looking at earlier, and I think at one point the queue for one of the days was 750,000, and the queue for one of the days was 600,000. So that's like 1.3 million. Population of Ireland is 5 million. So obviously there's people doing multiple devices and things like that, but if you think that that's kind of, you know, if that was genuinely, you know, even if people are doing multiple devices, well, they're still going to buy 2 or 3 or 4 tickets. So if you do it on a 1-for-1, that's like a quarter of the population of Ireland was trying to buy tickets today. That's insane.
Because this is the thing that a lot of Irish people, we have a Saturday meeting, it's a tradition, where we've all been saying online, why the fuck did the Dublin shows go on sale 1 hour before the UK? That's immediately adding so much more pressure. And not only that, there's a Dizzy Rascal concert on sale. What do you think it's going to be for the next stage of Oasis, really? Because this is a this is a super corporate time. Realistically, like, I know how much you love them. I love them, the Spice Girls. And when they did a tour, I think it was just pre-pandemic. Do you remember the pandemic?
Just about, yeah.
Oh, it was really funny at the time, but maybe not so much now. But they did a 12-concert tour that only went around the UK and Ireland, and that made £70 million. Imagine how much money Oasis will make from a much, much smaller budget. They're not going to have all this like staff and all this shit. The possibility of them making $100 million in the UK and Ireland, it's not out of the question. And they probably, like, if you've seen the Heaton Park stuff, if all those tickets are like, just say they were $150 each, even though there's more that are, they're going to make something like $40 million from those gigs alone.
Yeah.
It's like this is completely insane.
Yeah. Well, look, there's 17 shows, right? And it's 17 stadiums. And so if you think every stadium, I think one of my, one of the good pals, a guy called Brit, the guy who posts under Brits and Pieces, he'd broken it down. I don't know if he did it himself or he pulled it from somewhere. But if you think there's like 17 stadium shows, average of, I don't know, 80,000. Average ticket price, I was thinking, well, 150, but no, this dynamic pricing, average ticket price is probably 250, right? Because you've got all these people suddenly paying 350 for a standing ticket. I was complaining. I went to see Blur a couple of years ago, and I was like, oh God, a ticket, like standing ticket is like £105. A standing ticket for Oasis, people are paying 350. This is insane. Yeah. So yeah, if you just do the maths, like they are going to make probably somewhere between 50 million and 100 million each, I'd say. And that's before you get into, like you said, whether there's other funding, other sponsorships, other aspects to it. That's purely cut of ticket prices. And remember, there's only two of them. Like, so that's the thing. People are saying, oh, it's such a shame. Where's Squigsy? Where's Tony McCarroll? Where's Bonehead? Well, if you're Noel and you're going, right, would I want to cut in, you know, Bonehead? Would I want to cut in Alan White, you know, who I haven't seen probably for 15 years, 20 years? Do I want him to have a share, or should I just have it all myself? You know what I mean? Just share it all with Liam. Yeah. You know, it's a big difference. But yeah, that is it's an insane amount of money. And and as I said, at the moment, they've just gone so quiet. I mean, it's, you know, Noel's pretty quiet anyway. He does interviews and he'll do interviews and things. But, you know, whereas Liam is, as you know, is like regular on Twitter. But ever since he's been announced, he's gone. And people have been saying, like, oh, have they banned him from using Twitter? Like, have they silenced him or whatever? I mean, who knows what's part of the deal? What's part of the kind of the agreement to go ahead and do this? Is it like, okay, we'll do it, Liam, but you have to shut up because we can't have you going on and slagging off Noel? Because that's it. If he just gets drunk and tweets at someone and slags off his brother, then suddenly it disappears, you know, and it all goes away. And this is a lot of money. So maybe he has been told to back off, or maybe he's just trying to be sensible. But yeah, I mean, as soon as he comes back online, surely there's going to be a million people say, Liam, what the hell? You're supposed to be the man of the people. Why the hell was I paying 350 quid for a standing ticket?
Yeah, because that's the thing that I don't get, because I went to see Liam Gallagher twice this year. I've got cash. And the thing about it is that they were both... I think that the most expensive ticket was £70. That was for Dublin. And then at the Belfast gig, the ticket was like 50-something, even though that gig was really bad, but it wasn't actually his fault. So when these tickets went on sale and you heard, oh, they're going to be around 80, I thought, yeah, of course, like, why wouldn't they be? Little did I know that 80 was the percentage that you had to pay to get into the fucking queue. But when I went to see him in Dublin in June or July, it was fucking roasting. And I remember walking into the gig and there was people in full parkas and sunglasses. It's like, it's fucking roasting, you dickheads. You're sweating. Like, you're going to be stuck holding that in the venue. And then even in Belfast, it was as humid as a horse's arse. And there's people in the full long hair, parkas all zipped up, and it's like, this is ridiculous. You people aren't fans. You're fucking, like, this is a cosplay. Like, oh, I'm such a mad Oasis fan. Have you ever heard of Wonderwall? Oh, I love it. It rocks. Take a photograph of me, okay? Let's go home. It's not for me, but we do have a question of by One Eye. So who's going to be in the band? My guess, Gams, Axe, Starkey, and some random on bass. James?
Well, I would say that I think they're just going to keep it as easy as possible, right? And so Noel Gallagher currently plays in his band Noel Gallagher's High Flying Birds, which features a few people from the later days of Oasis. So the keyboard player Mikey Rowe, who played with Oasis all throughout the sort of the last sort of 15 years, Gem, who played on rhythm guitar and lead guitar in Oasis for the last 10 years. And Chris Sharrock, the drummer, who had played for Robbie Williams, played for The Lars, played for various bands. And he's been playing, as I say, he finished with Oasis. He was the drummer for there last year and has been the drummer for Noel pretty much ever since. So I'd say that is pretty obvious that it's easy. You know, those guys play together. They know each other. And Noel's pals with them and has been for years. So why would he want to draw them out and give someone else a payday? You know what I mean? So for instance, like the drummer side, yeah, Chris Sharrock, he knows all the songs. He was in Oasis. Yeah, he could bin him off and try and get Alan White back. But why would you do it when, who are you going to give the payday to? Your mate? or some guy that pissed you off and you sacked him 20 years ago. You know, so I think it will be primarily Noel's band. I want Bono to be there. You know, I think it's not Oasis. I mean, obviously it is Oasis without Bono because everyone's going to see the brothers. But it would be a shame if Bono wasn't there. So I think Bono will be there. And then it comes down to bass. The best money would be on Russ Pritchard, who's the bass player from Noel's current band. Once again, just because it's Noel's mate.
However, is that Skyshire guy?
Yeah, from the Zootons, yeah.
No, I can't have that. No curly hair in my Oasis, please.
What about Tony McCarroll?
He's bald now.
Well, he's bald now, but he had curly hair in the first couple of years.
I'm telling you, if he'd have cut that hair short, he'd have been a much better drummer, but nobody ever listens to the H-Man.
Fair play. So, yeah, so that would be my likely lineup. The other option for bass, because Gwigsy's never going to do it. Gwigsy's basically retired. He sits on his couch and watches cricket and listens to reggae and watches Doctor Who. And so he's happy in London doing that every day, as far as we're aware. And so the other option would be Andy Bell. Andy Bell, who was the bass player for the last sort of 10 years of Oasis. He is currently with Ride again, who is his first band. Ride are now kind of, they did an album earlier this year. They've got tour dates booked up until January, but then they are actually free. So it could be that Andy Bell comes on board next summer. So that's where I'm thinking it will be.
That would be pretty good. Just one more question here by Nicole Hutchinson. Is that the right way to pronounce that name?
Hutchinson.
Hutchinson. Is it true that Ireland banned dynamic pricing? No, it was actually, I think some tickets were going for like 500 quid over here. But yeah, I would love it if it's potential that, and I know it's way out of the blue, if they are getting a new lineup, I want Manny to play the bass.
Manny from The Roses.
Yeah, and The Scream. And he's out of work at the minute. Like, his wife's passed away. It'd be a good way to get him back on the road and stuff. but just as we're coming to the last question here. So, obviously, me and you were in love with each other, but also we have been Oasis diehards our entire lives. We've seen them before. We've watched the concert releases. We've heard the live albums, all that shit. But if you're going to this gig, and this might sound like an obvious question, but what's the one song that you need to hear the most?
Acquiesce.
Mm.
Acquiesce. So Acquiesce, for those that don't know, that's the one. Number one, both Liam and Noel sing it. So there's not many songs where they duet. Most songs, it's like, you know, Liam sings or Noel sings, or Liam sings and Noel does backing vocals. But Acquiesce is the one where Liam sings the verse and Noel sings the chorus. And the chorus is because we need each other, right? We believe in one another. And that's the message, right? That's the message that Oasis had. It's also got a very special place in our hearts because it was like the opening song at Oasis, maybe their greatest ever gig at Main Road, that was then captured on this There and Then video that we all grew up with. And they come on stage and they just go straight into that after the little instrumental they do called the Swamp Song. And it's such a powerful message. So I've seen Liam do that song live himself, and there is such a gap when he does it. And he would just go, you have to sing this bit. And so he finishes, you know, in your eyes, and he steps back. And then there's just this gap, you know, and he would get the girls to sing. He's got like backing vocal, female backing vocals, and they would sing it because we need. And it was just like depressing, man. I was like, Noel's not here. You know, Noel's not here. And it's so obvious when there's a big Noel-shaped hole in the sound. Cast No Shadow is the same one as well. You know, Cast No Shadow's got all these soul is pride, and you need Noel to go pride, and he's not there. And so you need him. So, you know, I'm really trying to, hopefully I'll push this sort of ticket stuff out of my mind and just focus on the fact that it's great. It will be great to have them back on stage again.
Well, that's actually the incorrect answer. The answer we were looking for is Hey Now from Morning Glory, because it's the only song that they've never played live from that album. So unfortunately, James, you've failed the contest. Yeah. But before we go, and I'll put these plugs in down below on YouTube, what is the YouTube address, and where can we hear your recently exploded podcast with all its coverage, and how big are your feet?
I'm a size 10 UK. And so it's basically, if you just search for the Oasis podcast anywhere, and I nicked the name the Oasis podcast back in 2017 when I first set it up. So it's not the official one, it's unofficial, but I nicked the name, and unless they get a cease and desist on me, I'm keeping the name. So if you just search the Oasis podcast on YouTube or any podcatcher, you'll find us. And then you can support on Patreon as well, patreon.com/OasisPod, if you want to put your money where your mouth is, as we say. But I'll let you know the link for the description. But yeah, just Google Oasis Podcast. And if you put on Radio London at 7:20 on Monday morning, I'll be on it talking about Oasis as well.
That is so weird you say that. That's exactly the time that I always listen to Radio London. Well, what are the chances? This is absolutely mental. Well, listen, James, I'm so glad we got to do this. I will delete those photos you sent me. I know you were drunk at the time. Please. But I'll keep on because, well, it's something I enjoy. But listen, I love talking about this, and I think that I would like to have you back on again, barring the next big story. Like, if there's drama, if there's fucking scandal, if I actually don't get a ticket and then it's going to be trouble, then no one gets the tour. But we're all going to have a great time at the show. It's going to happen. Thanks, everybody, for in the chat. I don't pay attention to you people that much.
So there we go. Thank you very much to Husey. As I said, it's someone that... you know, he's very entertaining, he's very funny, and I thought, well, look, if we're going to talk about this sort of ticketing price, let's do it with someone that's got a little bit of about them. So yeah, hope you guys enjoyed that, and if you do want to hear the full version of that with some slightly edgier moments as well, then go and check out It's Husey Hello wherever you find him. Right, just before, I want to jump over to an incredible message that I've got from one of our listeners, Adam. But first off, there has been a couple of bits of news while I've been recording this, really. First off, Instagram update. Alan White has posted on Instagram, he's posted a picture of the Oasis drum kit, the Oasis Swirl drum swirl logo. And yeah, it's had 5,462 likes and 476 comments, and it was only 2 hours ago. So what is it? It's 20 past one in the morning here, so it was about 20 past 11. And yeah, and also on his Instagram story, it's got two parts. There's the song Three Little Birds by Bob Marley. So that's the one that goes, everything's going to be all right. And also the fact he's down the pub having a couple of pints with one of his mates. So it looks like he's gone to the pub, had a couple of pints, listened to a bit of Bob Marley, and just either is completely winding us up by taking a photo of the Oasis Swirl drum kit, or he's or it's a little clue, and he might be coming on board. Like I said, it feels to me like Chris Sharrock is in the driving seat. But yeah, it would be absolutely fantastic to get Alan White back out again. Alan White out playing and stuff. It would be incredible. And also more ex-Oasis drummer news. Tony McCarroll is in County Offaly in the village of Kinnerty. And there's been a plaque unveiled to the first place he ever played a gig. So there's a blue plaque outside this this little parish hall in Kinnerty. So yeah, really pleased for Tony. I know the Irish heritage is really important to him. So it's a really, really lovely touch. And then the only other thing just to say in terms of the ticketing stuff, I did see a change.org petition flying around. So people are actually sort of trying to now ban kind of dynamic pricing and things like that. I mean, I would go further. I would say anyone that purchased on dynamic pricing should have the extra refunded to them. I mean, that's what I think. I think it's fair. Like that, that's what it should be. So that's where I would go with it anyway. Oh, and the other thing as well, I mean, well, the other massive thing I've not talked about at all is the new Definitely Maybe. Like the new Definitely Maybe came out, what, a couple of days ago now. I did listen to it just after midnight, basically, when it came out. And yeah, and I was just like, look, I need to listen to this properly. There's too much to take in. I need to sort of sit down and break it all down. So, yeah, I haven't really done that yet. I think we need to get that booked in with someone and just sort of sit down and go through it track by track, because there's a lot to unpack in that Definitely Maybe re-release. So, yeah, I hope you guys are enjoying that. And then also Oasis have released a load of Definitely Maybe kind of related merch. I suppose this was probably kind of set up before the reunion, I would imagine. Otherwise, you know, I would have guessed they'd be doing more like reunion, like Live 25 type shirts. But yeah, it's just like Definitely Maybe stuff. Some interesting stuff, actually. Some stuff that looks quite good. It's always tricky, I suppose. You're trying to get the you're trying to get that style that still looks cool, but then like isn't sort of too obvious. And so you've got things like, there's a Definitely Maybe t-shirt with a tambourine. There's a Definitely Maybe t-shirt with like a Marshall stack and Noel's Sunburst guitar. You know, so there's a few sort of nice items that are a little bit cooler, you know, with like different, there's like bottle openers, there's socks, there's mugs. You know, there's good stuff. So, yeah, anyway, if you're into the merch, go and check it out. And I think I'm going to stop going daily. I think it's sort of now that the ticket sort of thing has happened, I think we're probably going to chill out now. So unless something major happens tomorrow, I think we'll probably leave it for a few days to refresh the batteries, figure out what's going on, and then come back with another episode, probably breaking down Definitely Maybe, and also talking about Hello, which I think is the next in the Oasis A to Z, I believe. Which would be very interesting, seeing as it's all about being good to be back, and they're back. So, okay, so last up then, we have, from the other day, me and Richard ended up having a conversation just about how emotional kind of it was making us feel. Richard shared a really lovely story about how, you know, his family, he's had a sort of a very difficult time in his family, his brother. And then it just sort of reminded me of, you know, the fact that, you know, so many of us have lost people connected to like Oasis, or like Oasis was a big part of their lives, a big part of their lives together. And they're gone, and they're not going to be able to see this with us. They were taken from us too early or whatever it was. So, yeah, and I got this incredible email come in from Adam. So I just really wanted to share this with you.
Hi, James. I was listening to episode 265 today, and what you and Richard were saying about those who won't be able to make it to the Live 25 gigs really hit home for me. My wife died recently from cancer, and music was a huge part of our life together. When we met, we very quickly established a mutual love for rock music, and particularly Oasis. She'd been to Nebworth on the first night, and I'd seen them 6 times previously, and our first big gig we went to together early in our relationship was to see Oasis at the Millennium Stadium in Cardiff on the Dig Out Your Soul tour way back in 2009. We've been to many, many gigs, but keeping it Oasis related, we went to a couple of Noel shows and more recently saw Liam at Cardiff Bay last year. When the reunion was announced, I just had a flat feeling. Considering Oasis are my favourite band, although I don't listen to them that much these days, I expected to be more excited. But when the rumours were fact, I wasn't elated like I expected to be. My first thought was how she's going to miss it. I live in Wales near Cardiff, so I'll be trying for tickets there. And while I have a friend and his wife who are huge Oasis fans and want to go too, it feels incredibly strange to be thinking about getting 3 tickets and not 4. It's currently 8 p.m. on Friday evening before the tickets go on general sale, and I didn't make it into the pre-sale, so I may not even be able to get tickets. But I still have mixed feelings. I'm excited, yet sad for her missing out like this. I can only think of the good times we would have had going to this show. When the announcement was made, a few of us were talking about it and someone not part of our conversation went, Oasis? Who gives a fuck about Oasis? I do. This band has been a constant through most of my and our lives, and it would have been so great for us both to return to the same venue all these years later and have had the night of our lives. It'll be bittersweet if I do get to go, but this music is a bridge across my life and I want to cross it again, even if it's going to be painful at times. We both went to a Tears for Fears gig a while back, and an older lady in front of us was in bits throughout most of it, being comforted by the people with her. We speculated what could have been wrong at the time. We didn't really know, but we suspected, and I think I understand now. When the Nebworth Blu-ray came out, the stars had aligned for our neighbours to be out for the weekend, so we picked the night she attended and put it on at daft volumes and treated it like being at a gig. No pausing, you had to listen from the loo when you went, and of course, lots of drinking and singing along. Great memories. Music is a bridge. Keep up the good work on the podcast.
Adam, thank you so much for sending that in. That's really, really powerful. And I was really sorry to hear that about your wife. And I know that there's, you know, that like we said, there's so many other people in a similar boat. And today there's all this been the hassle about the tickets and everything. I really hope you got some. I do really hope you did. And I really hope you get down there and you can share that and you can share the great night. You know, with you, with your friends, with your family. And so I'm just so grateful that you took the time to send that in. That's such a beautiful idea that music is a bridge. And and I think that everyone else should, you know, listen to that, should take that as a, you know, and let's sort of try and get out of our heads of like all this crap about the tickets and stuff and just focus on like what it's all about, which is spending time with friends and family. So, Adam, thank you so much, mate. I really hope you got tickets, and do please stay in touch. And if you didn't, then we need to get one for you if you didn't, because, you'd need it after that story. So thank you so much, mate. I don't think we can take it anywhere else after that, can we? So thank you so much for listening. We'll be back very soon with more with more from the world of Oasis, but maybe not quite as often as I have been recording recently, but we're going to keep going. All right. Stay in touch, stay engaged, and stay young, everybody.